Hello?
Matt,
Yes, am I coming through?
you're coming through perfectionately, my good man.
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm just as you said there, I am fantastic, Matt. Absolutely.
I gotta say, it's awesome to hear your voice just addressing me instead of just the podcast. It's kind of different.
It is the weirdest sensation ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon. It's not a Friday. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. I know. It's always been a Friday, so it's going to remain a Friday. And you don't know. You could be listening to this on a train, and it may be a Friday. Maybe you figured out the means of how to travel time. And hey, hold on. If this is a Saturday, if you were in Salt Lake City, it'd still be a Friday. Boom. Happy days. We're all good. Let's get to that intro. A caveat. Is that what I call it? And on the line is a gentleman who I'm proud to call a good friend, a fellow podcaster, and fellow freak of the horticultural world. I use that term very eloquently and with great regard. Matt Candia, I've got an Irish accent, Matt. You're going to have to introduce yourself.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm Matt Candeias. Thanks for the great intro, and proud to let my freak flag fly.
You just about got that out, Matt.
Almost.
Those who don't know you, you host. Now you've got me doing it. You host the In Defense of Plants podcast.
That is true. In Defense of Plants is my baby.
How long are you on the go, Matt?
I've been doing the podcast for almost 3 years now, if not about 3 years. It was a blog for 5 years, almost going on 6 years now. So it's been a love child for almost half a decade.
For those who know the Sideshow, they're obviously listening to the Sideshow, so they're now listening to you. So I'm not promoting myself on your podcast, which will be happening anyway because we're going to sync this up in some roundabout way where I'm on Matt's and Matt's on. Yeah, okay, you get what I'm saying. Pause. Your podcast is not the Sideshow, if that makes any sense. Discuss.
Correct. It makes complete sense, but I think they complement one another really well. In Defense of Plants really kind of started out as just an appreciation of botany. Horticulture is one aspect of botany that I absolutely love and enjoy, but it also celebrates the science of botany. People that study plants have devoted their careers to understanding plants and the myriad interactions plants have with the world. So it's kind of a celebration of all things botany, but for the sake of botany, you know what I mean? I think plants suffer too much from folklore or these kind of mystic ideas of their use, but so few people are just celebrating them as just incredible organisms worthy of admiration.
Well, let's sidetrack into you before I get back into the In Defense of Plants podcast. What is your background, Matt? Or let me rephrase that. What is your education and what do you do for a living?
Living is a really generous term for what I do. No, I come from a science background. I actually got into plants working in a quarry, which is the weirdest place you could possibly get into plants. But I kind of discovered this world of restoration. And I was always an animal person at heart. And when I started to realize more and more that if you wanted to bring healthy animals back, you needed a healthy plant population first or a plant community, I realized, oh, wow, everything comes down to plants. So I kind of refocused my educational career. I got an undergraduate degree in botany. And then I went on to kind of work some seasonal gigs around the United States, got to travel a bit, got to botanize different corners of this continent. And then I went back for my master's in community ecology. And currently, I'm working on a PhD in, I guess, community ecology meets landscape ecology.
So how would you differentiate then the Sideshow from In Defense of Plants?
Well, I think the Sideshow is really great in that it kind of celebrates the world of horticulture. It celebrates people that are learning to grow plants, which I think is one of the most important skills humanity has ever stumbled upon. So it celebrates and gives the history, wonderful history of a lot of these horticultural lovelies. Whereas I think In Defense of Plants is a little bit more in the science realm, the botanical and ecology realm. So everything from paleobotany all the way up to true botany, extant species, and getting to talk to researchers and horticulturists and kind of trying to get those two camps talking a little bit more, because I think at least in my field, the science field, it lacks in horticulture interests, and I think that hurts the field. So it's kind of a melding of the two. I think they stand in kind of a complement of one another. There are different podcasts, but you can get something unique from each.
I'll put it this way, Matt. Your podcast at varying times sounds like some of my old lectures from college. It can get a little bit, don't get me wrong, you're talking to a guy whose TV is disconnected and or doesn't play television programs, and I don't listen to news radio, and I don't really buy a newspaper. I can pick that up on Twitter in about 10.4 seconds. Let's move swiftly onwards. Your podcast can be extremely technical on one hand, and then on the other hand, it can be a little bit lighter. I say lighter in comparison to the extreme technical horticulture. In short, I think the way I labeled it was, if you have a degree in horticulture, you'll enjoy this one. If you don't have a degree in horticulture, you may need a thesaurus. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I try to keep things lighthearted, but you know, you mentioned the, it sounds like a lecture. It's because oftentimes I am interviewing, you know, professional scientists, people that spend their careers researching and talking about these things on a really technical level. And I enjoy, personally, I enjoy the challenge of trying to get them to sort of bring it down to a level that I think most people can digest. But yeah, you know, in defense of plants, definitely takes a more technical approach to the world of botany and plants in general. And that's, you know, it's just, it is what it is. I enjoy doing it. I think it's fun to talk that way. And for the most part, I think it's well received by a general audience, which is always my goal.
In that department, for those who are listening to this right now, don't, every time I say don't stop, I get S Club 7 ringing in my head.
Wow.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah, come on.
Let's move on from that just for a second. For those of you who are listening to this, don't stop listening, it's happened again, to this episode. Continue on, but when it's finished, press that middle button on your iPhone and stick in defense of plants. Scroll on down, and this, I have to say, was my favorite one that you ever did. It was with Amy Hruska. Did I pronounce it Hruska?
Hruska.
Hruska. She's a PhD student and she's in Hawaii. I had this picture of Don Johnson and a convertible sports car and some guy sliding across the bonnet drinking pina coladas with out of a pineapple, and she painted an entirely different picture. Don't get me wrong, all of those things and all of the plants bit aside, she was an absolute dream to listen to, the way her brain worked, the thinking, the logic, the whole lot. But it was fascinating what she described, which was happening on the island, which was essentially, what did they label the island?
The extinction capital of the world.
And that was it. But she was something else, Matt.
Oh, she's great. And I mean, I can't speak enough to the fact that, because I get to talk to brilliant scientists like Amy. She is fascinating in every regard, in the terms of like just the way she thinks. And again, like you said, it's a dream to listen to someone like that, because they're so eloquent in the way they take kind of these big ideas, these complex ideas, and distill it down to the basic points. And that was a great conversation, and I'm really happy you enjoyed it so much, because it was just, it's fascinating to learn about this stuff, and there's so many applications and ways that we can move forward with this information. It's not just benefiting, you know, Hawaiians per se, but invasion biology around the globe.
But essentially, Matt, I wouldn't have heard that story if it wasn't for you, because I know I labeled it freak, and I used that word again, I say very eloquently, but the oddball... yeah, I know, people. But the oddball little weirdos who Peter Donegan bringing cactus plants in his school bag at 5 years of age, sitting down the back of the yard, looking into my bag, it was as if I'd brought, I don't know if anybody's ever known a mate of theirs who's brought their cat or their puppy to school and smuggled it in, and the dog is sticking his head out. That was me, except for it was a cactus plant.
Good.
And getting up in the middle of the night and checking underneath my bed to see if the opposite of phototropism had taken place. And all of these little quirks, what other people would see as quirks, I would see as the norm. When you take those quirky little things and you now make them grown-up people, and they're doing PhD or research on another island, it just fascinates me entirely. But it's not mainstream, Matt. Does that whole thing make sense to you?
Yeah, totally. And I can't agree with you more. It does suck that so often, I think in the last couple decades, scientists like that have kind of shunned the world of popular media. You know, you see someone like Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson get up, and yeah, they make a big wave with the public, but you know, you kind of hear these inklings of these older guard scientists going like, oh, well, that's popular media and what we're doing is important. But you know, it's changing, I think, and being able to showcase someone like Amy, who's doing incredible work, has amazing things to say, but wouldn't necessarily get you know, the front page in a New York Times article. It's a blast. And like you said, I find all these wonderful little niche markets. Usually, you know, these are people with a rich background doing interesting things. I can empathize with you bringing cacti to school and checking under your bed to see if your little at-home experiment works. And that's the beauty of In Defense of Plants, is I get to meet and showcase people that, you know, probably have those kinds of backgrounds that in the past probably would not have been you know, front page news.
I discussed this quite recently with Stephanie Mahon, who writes with the Garden Design Journal, formerly the English Garden. And what I was saying to her was essentially controversy in horticulture is never really that controversial. It's just a garden that you like or you don't like, or a plant that is not your favorite. But are you a little bit famous, but only famous within that little bit of a bubble? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know if what you would call what I have fame, but it is strange. You know, I kind of lead I feel like sometimes I'm leading a double life, because I'm pretty modest and self-conscious about what I do to, you know, friends and public. I mean, everyone knows I've got something going on in the internet, but, you know, the degree to which anyone really appreciates what In Defense of Plants has become, it is strange, though, when you do kind of encounter people that know it and have followed it for a while, and then they say things to you, and you're like, oh, weird, I'm still a poor grad student sitting in my pajamas talking to people in middle America. So it's kind of like this strange balance. It is kind of great. I absolutely adore getting fan mail and ratings from people all over the world saying, like, I love what you do. And you're like, oh, wow, this is reaching people, I guess.
There's a thing, though, Matt. All of the guests that you have had on, every single one of them, bar a couple, tend to start their intro to you, well, after you've intro them, they tend to say, thanks, Matt, and by the way, I really love what you're doing with the show. And I've heard it so many times from them high-fiving and praising you. That's my American thing in there. Did you notice that? I said high-five. But I've heard them compliment you so much, so well at the very start of your show, that my head is wondering, are you paying them money underneath the counter to say nice things about you at the intro? Do you brief them? How does that bit work out?
No, I don't have enough money to bribe anyone. It is just strange. It happens, and I love it. It really makes me feel good. It makes me feel like what I'm doing is worth it, but I have a hard time accepting love from people. And so it's one of those moments where they start saying those things and I just kind of blush and go like, oh, God, what's happening?
Yeah, okay, well, look, I'll take that. What I said when I gave a speech in Salt Lake City on St. Patrick's Day from the Alta Club, private club, in the presence of former President of Ireland, Mary Robinson, and the Irish consulate, was that when I rang home to tell my dad that I was in the States and I was going to be on the television and the front of the Salt Lake Tribune. Believe me, I'm not bigging myself up. There's a punchline in here. He said, I'll put you on the phone to your sister. And so he did. And my sister said, Dad, it's your son calling from America. And my dad said, because I could hear him, well, unless he's going to help me empty this dishwasher, I couldn't really care less. And ba-dum, on it went. The point being that even if you were a Bono, and you phoned home, the same principle rules would apply. And I was trying to explain this to them in the States, that, look, it doesn't really matter if you think I'm great. I'm going to go back home and I'm just going to be Peter. Are you at that level?
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. I mean, my parents are kind of embarrassingly proud. I could just mess up real hard and they'd still be like, you're the best. And so I kind of like, their praise is great. I love their support and it means so much to me, but it also does, I don't value it whatsoever because it's like, I'm their kid. Of course they like what I do. But you know, when you do get these moments where people that you really respect, and people you really look up to, you're interviewing them and they say, you know, I love what you're doing. That to me is like the feather in the cap and it feels good. But yeah, when I come home and I'm paying bills or I have to like clean the dishes to make dinner, or we're out drinking and my friends are just razzing on me for something else, it's you know, I'm just like I said, I'm a poor grad student sitting in middle America.
Here's a serious question, though. I say this seriously. I also ask with myself in mind, because it's a question that I'm irregularly asked, but why bother doing the In Defense of Plants podcast?
I love doing it. Honestly, it's so much fun to be able to network and talk to people. I like talking. I really like nothing warms my heart more than like sitting down with friends with a beer or two and just having deep, good conversations. And if I get to do that with people that I really respect and people doing amazing things in the world of botany, it's just great. And even if 10 people listen to it, I'd still do it. And it's networking too. I mean, I'm getting to know people from all over the world. I'm getting to hear what they think and how they say things and their approach to different subjects. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to get all altruistic about it, plants need defenders. You know what I mean? It's not, the idea of plants doesn't need defense. We just need more people saying, hey, these are incredible organisms. And, you know, I just, as Independence of Plants grows, I really hope that's part of the role it plays. And just obsessing over plants. I'm doing it anyway. I might as well record it and put it on the internet.
In the same vein, and with that little bit in mind, was there a catalyst for why you started it, Matt?
Yes, definitely. And it's actually was kind of based in horticulture. When I started kind of writing about plants, it was really born out of this idea that, again, when I look up my favorite plant species, I was either getting some weird cultivar version, someone talking about a cultivar they've developed, or it was talking about some like Native American use or purported medicinal value. And it just seemed like plants were kind of these tools or these things that were just here for our use. When in reality, you know, being a biologist background, I knew they evolved here. They've been around way longer than we have. And this was something I really thought needed a voice. And one day I was reading an American Orchid Society article on Ludisia discolor, the jewel orchid, which is, you know, one of my real introductions to how weird growing orchids could be in the home. And someone said, oh, well, you know, the foliage is great, but the flowers aren't much to write home about. They're kind of botanical and boring. And, you know, I'm sitting there with a paper up describing the reproductive ecology of this plant and how their weird floral morphology assists that. And I went, no way, this is not boring. Oh, God, I have to say something. So it was really kind of like I got sick of just leaving comments in comment sections and decided I'm just going to scream my comments out into the world and see who wants to listen to them.
So when you did the first episode, Matt, do you remember that? Did you do what we had to do when we first did the Sod Show live on radio or in podcast? And I was phoning people up saying, will you listen to the thing? And they're going, yeah, of course. It was a bit like, you know, would you sweep the front of my house, you know, oh, I'll get around to it tomorrow. I was out last night. Did you go through those motions? Do I call them motions? It's hardly a pregnancy, if you understand me, but you get where I'm coming from. It was, and now it's taken off. Do you look back on that? I say fondly, but and giggle slightly.
Oh, yeah, totally. It was kind of funny. I mean, I was lucky that the blog had kind of gained some momentum in the few years preceding that. So I could kind of convince a handful of people that I didn't know to listen to it other than just friends. But yeah, I mean, my first episode was sitting in my girlfriend's drafty apartment in the middle of winter. And I think you can even hear the windows rattling as the blizzard was raging outside. So, you know, thinking back to just me sitting with my phone in front of me on the voice memo section and going like, oh, I don't know how well this is going to turn out, to, you know, kind of, hey, would you listen to this? Hey, would you maybe think about this? You know, and just that those early days were weird and I didn't know what I was doing and the learning curve was steep. But yeah, it is kind of strange to think back to a day when you had, you know, maybe 10 subscribers at most.
Who was the first one that you turned around, Matt, and said the chosen one, essentially?
I think my first real like holy crap moment, it was a toss up between Dennis Wiggum from the Smithsonian. He's part of the North American Orchid Conservation Center. He's kind of the head honcho there. And Paddy Woodworth, who is an Irish author and just wrote this amazing book on restoration ecology throughout the world. When people like that agree to come on your podcast, you're going, shit, I've done something right here.
Do you select people, Matt, to come on the show? Because you seem to be now in a point where the Sod Show has, I think, what is the Sod Show? Since 2011. So I'm an old boy in the podcasting department. But the point at which people start to approach you to say, hi, would you mind taking X, Y, and Z on? There's a little bit of a tipping point where I can't remember the last time I asked somebody to come on. We just seem to end up holding hands, walking down the street together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good mix. For a long time, it's just been me finding people. You know, I'm in a grad school. I'm constantly reading literature. I'm reading big and different fields of botany and horticulture. And, you know, whenever I read a good paper, I say, okay, who wrote this? All right, let's email them and say, hey, you know, so-and-so, do you want to come on this podcast? And I think through that network, it's gotten slightly easier because people share it and eventually go, oh, okay, this is someone that's at least, you know, my friend trusted enough to go on it. Now I'll go on it. But it's starting to pick up where people will email me and say, hey, check out this paper. Would you want to interview this person? Or, you know, hey, you should talk to my friend. Like, I just recently interviewed Chad Husby from Fairchild Botanical Garden. And, you know, he's a great human being. So I could listen to him talk for hours. But afterwards, he's like, hey, you know, if you enjoy this kind of topic, you should talk to this person. And then they put me in touch. And it just kind of grows like a network. I've only ever denied talking to one person. And it's because as a human being, I think they were terrible. And I don't like to give, you know, credit where credit shouldn't be given.
Touché. We'll skew past the negative and we leave it entirely there. When you're not doing well, when you're not talking about plants, and when you're not doing work with plants or around plants, what is the thing that you do?
Sleep. I really like hanging out with friends. I like watching weird movies with friends. Like I said, having a beer or two, having good conversation, hiking always, but that's involving plants. Board games. I'm really into board games. I like playing them, weird ones. And really, oof. Not involving plants leaves a lot of space in my life completely tied up. So not much outside of that.
And where do you see it going, Matt?
Good question, man. I don't know. You know, I'm in this PhD program. I've got plenty I like about academia and doing research, and I've got plenty more I don't like about academia, and I don't really see myself fitting in to that field very much. I like what In Defense of Plants is doing. Whether or not that can help pay the bills is another question, but you know, I think the ideal position for someone like myself would be in a botanical garden setting, you know, kind of continuing what In Defense of Plants does, introducing the public to plants in a way that, you know, a lot of people aren't doing through various mediums, podcasting, articles, videos, but also growing plants. If I can grow plants for the rest of my life, I would be the happiest boy on earth.
Have you ever thought about giving it up, Matt? Have you ever had that moment where you've banged your head off the glass and said, why am I bothering doing this thing?
There's definitely days that are frustrating. You know, the internet can be a cesspool of trolls and just mean folks, but you know, I've learned, you know, the good far outweighs the bad, so no, I can't see myself giving it up.
Okay, so you're 3 years on the go as that. How or has this in any way affected your daytime? Do I call it, I can't call what I do for a living, apart from the latest garden that I made, which was down a flight of stairs that was a 25 degree angle, and jeez, you know, just about, yeah, well, hey, listen, I always seem to end up with the oddball bills, but they're the challenges, Matt. But how does this work in with your job? And
yeah, totally. I mean, I think I've gotten pretty good at managing my time and using my time wisely. So again, you know, I'm constantly reading papers for research, and my advisor's always sending me new things. I'm always trying to network with new scientists. So in that way, I find new people to talk to and new topics to write about all the time. And that's great, that overlap. But in terms of like my employers, you know, she knows I do it. I think if it got in way of deadlines, it would be an issue. But honestly, it's my personal life, and no one can tell me what to do with my personal life, plain and simple. And it's something I enjoy doing. It's a release, and I'm going to continue doing it. So too bad, I'm sad kind of situation. But again, I've got a great relationship with my advisor. I get my stuff done. You know, it can overlap. So I think it's making me a better writer. It's making me a better speaker. So in reality, if someone didn't see the value in me doing this, then maybe that we weren't a good fit in the first place.
Boom. Wow. What an answer. Let's get to this. For those who are new to In Defense of Plants, you're based in Chicago, Matt.
Yeah, just south of Chicago for right now. I used to be based in Buffalo, New York, but, you know, jobs cause you to move.
And for those who are new to In Defense of Plants, who may be now leaving the Sod Show to go and listen to your wonderful voice, Matt, insert insults here, he says gently. But give me a couple of episodes that you would recommend for those who may be on a just a new into you from the Sod Show kind of a way.
Right on. Well, let me start by saying, like, that's the beauty of podcasting. You don't have to leave one to go to the other. Enjoy us both equally, you know. But I think in terms of episodes, you already mentioned Amy's was great. Chad Husby's is fantastic. You know, I can't speak highly enough of just listening to him talk, and you can just hear the passion being wrung out from him. I talked to a professor. She's in Michigan. Her name is Dr. Perfecto, and she is one of the coolest people doing the greatest research on coffee plantations and trying to turn coffee plantations into, you know, more ecologically functioning systems. She's created a game to teach illiterate farmers how to, you know, understand broad ideas in ecology. I mean, in terms of modern era communicating science and doing good things for the planet, that is someone you really need to look up to. Again, Dennis Wiggum's interview, the North American Orchid Conservation Center, that was fantastic. And then Matt Smith from the Atlanta Botanical Garden, he's doing orchid propagation there. It's just really cool to see. I love anytime a hobbyist turns into a conservationist, you know, just because they love growing plants and then they can use it for good. So that's another great one. But it's hard to pick favorites. But those are a few worth listening to.
Well, I sometimes find myself, Matt, that people will turn around and say to me, oh, I love that one that you did with X, Y, or Z. And it's not that I don't like it. I guess I just don't see what they see, in part because I'm the person who's, you might say, baking the cake.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. And it sounds like you bake a lot like I bake. But it is weird because you're so close to it and you're editing it. And I hate hearing my own voice. That's one weird thing about doing this is I have to constantly hear. And it makes you really self-conscious of all the ums and the weird things you do to kind of stutter through and collect your thoughts. But yeah, there's times when I'm like, oh, well, you know, this is going to be another topic that might not hit big with people, but sometimes they blow up, and then other topics that I think are going to be like, whoa, mind-blowing, just don't get much traction. It's weird, and if I figured it out, I'd probably be making more money on this, but there's definitely those moments when you're like, I don't understand it, but cool.
Any plans to come to Ireland, Matt? Have you ever been?
No, I haven't been. I would love to go to Ireland. Your countryside is one of the most fascinating I could think of seeing in the, you know, the Northern European area, so I'd love to get out there. It's just, again, poor grad student. Travel time isn't really factoring into my life all that frequently.
Well, let me put it to you this way. My first time in the United States was March this year, so I can't really argue with you on that matter. And
well, I hope you enjoyed it.
Hey, well, look, I'll be honest with you. It was, Was it a little bit more work than it was anything else on one hand, but then was it still talking about plants? Yeah, it was on every level. What's the future hold for you? What's next on the horizon?
Oh, boy. Graduating eventually. I've got some public publications in the works that I'd like to get out, scientific ones, but I just want to keep going with In Defense of Plants. My friend Grant and I have been teaming up and doing great, these really fun video series, and I want to kind of expand on that a little bit more and do more traveling with the podcast, get to interview people in situ, see new habitats, feature them in film. I just really want to expand this world and just kind of make In Defense of Plants a really good go-to for, pop botany sort of stuff. But I don't know. You know, like I said, the horizon's coming where I'm going to have to start finding a way to support myself and figure out where I'd end up. And I think I'm just going to start positioning and asking questions and talking to the right people to take the next step. But I found that planning kind of goes awry way too quickly, and I don't like to set too many big expectations.
Okay, well, look, if you want to get in touch with Matt, he has a website. I'm hesitant to give it to you.
Indefenseofplants.com.
He's on the Twitter. Give that to me, Matt.
You can just search In Defense of Plants and you'll find it.
Got a Facebook page. I got it as well, Matt.
Yep, facebook.com/indefenseofplants.
He's got a YouTube channel as well.
Yes, youtube.com/indefenseofplants. You will find it. If you Google it, you will find it.
Matt, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the Sod Show. I'm personally delighted to have you on. It's been, if I could air what we chatted about pre actually starting the recording of this podcast, it would probably be more entertaining than all of my Sod Shows put together. However, that's not legally allowed in 42 states in America. I'm only joking. It's
It might get that way soon enough, but no, I agree. It's an honor to be here. I love your show, and keep doing what you do, man. It's such a great thing, and you do it well.
Thank you so much, Matt. For you listening at home, at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow, and sodshow.com. Don't mind those other gardening podcasts. Seriously, I loved you more. It was always you. You know that. Matt meant nothing to me. I'm joking. We'll leave there. Have a great weekend in the great outdoors. We'll chat soon. Take care. It's fun. Cheers. Bye-bye. Don't stop moving to the escalator. Is it in your head? Is it? You know it is.